Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, back in our Buck studio for more live music, and it comes from two guests who have come over from Milwaukee today. They are Elena Chekan and Rene Izquierdo, and Rene has been here before. It was a few months ago with the Milwaukee...
That's correct.
Mandolin Ensemble.
Mandolin Orchestra, yes.
Mandolin Orchestra, that's right, which you were conducting from the... Were you playing the mandolin for that, or guitar?
No.
Or you're just conducting?
Heaven, you don't want me to play the mandolin. No, I was conducting. Actually, Elena also co-directs and co-conducts the Milwaukee Mandolin Orchestra when I'm not available.
And we'll be starting today with actually several pieces, a set of pieces, four of them for two guitars, and that makes me wonder first, well, of course, not to take too much for granted, Rene, but you being from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of guitar music around.
Yes, absolutely. But guitar became more popular in Cuba because of the issue of availability and the ease to travel with the instruments.
Sure.
So, but these pieces that we're playing first are actually arrangements from 19th century piano music. This the first nationalistic composer, Manuel Saumel, he used to play for in Havana. He lived in Havana and played for dance music, you know, ballroom types of ideas.
Sure.
So, and guitar, because it's such an instrument that is polyphonic and it has a lot of colors at the same time, it can borrow this type of music and sound quite good on it, I think.
There's a lot, of course, if you look at Albéniz and Granados and particular Spanish composers,
piano,
the piano, but
yes.
Volumes of piano music, almost all of it transcribed for guitar, because some of it actually is imitating guitar music in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, it's very convenient for guitars.
Written with a guitar in mind.
Yeah.
But Elena, now, where do you hail from and how did you get into playing the guitar?
Well, I'm originally from Minsk, Belarus, and I started playing guitar since I was a schoolgirl, and I just liked it, and it just happened to become my career choice. I just was okay at it, I guess. So it was pretty typical for where I'm from path. You go to music school, and then you go to college, and then you go to Academy of Music, and here you are. And then I actually came to this country, and... I repeated my master's degree at Yale University, and that's where we met with Renee. And then we lived in New York for a couple of years, and then here we in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, opened the guitar program at UW Milwaukee.
And there's a flourishing guitar program at UW Milwaukee?
I should say so. Numbers are speaking very well in our behalf. The program is among being one of the youngest, or about the youngest, is now 14 years old, and it's one of the strongest programs now in the U.S. So we're pretty happy and pleased with the results, and so is our school. So,
well, that's all for the best, and I'm sure your students are too. So these four Cuban dances, originally for one piano. Played by two guitarists, and they have descriptive titles, which is so often true of guitar music.
Yes. La virtuosa means the virtuous one. La niña bonita, the pretty girl. La nene, the baby. And la quejosita, the complaining one. So they're very suggestive and they're very cute. Mm-hmm. This type of dances, we're still on the binary form, very much on the same fashion of Scarlatti sonatas. Because remember, the music on the Americas was slightly behind that what
sure.
Everything was happening on Europe at the time. So,
however, it has a really nice Cuban flavor in it and rhythm, of course.
I'm sure they didn't. Are you going to go straight from that into one by the more contemporary composer, Eduardo Martín?
Eduardo Martín, which is a living composer. He is a guitarist, and he used to play with this duo Confluencias, with Walfrido Dominguez and Eduardo Martín. And this piece is part of their repertoire that they did back then on the 90s. It's called Sones y Flores, like songs, the song like as a genre, and flowers. So also very suggestive. I don't know where the flowers really come in it, but like it's still very pretty.
Leave it to your imagination. Here we go.
Sonis Flores. Thank you.
effective finale there in particular. That was Songs and Flowers by Eduardo R. Martin, and before that, Four Cuban Dances by Manuel Sommel, played by my guest during the midday today, Elena Checan and Rene Izquierdo. And the whole notion of using the guitar as a percussion instrument, does that come from the Americas? Do we find that in European
music? Absolutely, in flamenco. Flamenco music is full of that.
From Spain.
It's just very heavily rhythmical and quite... it's actually a very strong element of the performance-oriented tradition when it comes to guitar, to use as form of percussion because of the attack of the instrument and everything else.
It's a box.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is, sure. It's sort of crying out for percussion, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much. It does have all kinds of sounds. So the
you can create
composers,
all kinds of...
Yeah, I guess just holding the instrument, you have this... urge to kind of tap it and,
yes.
and do these special effects. I'm sure that even, the European composers of Beethoven's time, did some of that.
Yes,
informally,
absolutely,
at least.
Absolutely.
And once you tie it into the dance rhythms and even dance music,
it became much more, flamenco, and obviously South American music utilizes a lot of percussive elements. But we have, in all classical compositions, we have the elements of tambora, which it happens to be like a drum-like sound.
Sure, you can get an almost symphonic effect by the time you have two guitars.
That's the idea, yes.
Well, I think that even the strumming, the skill that attracts most people to the guitar, and we certainly all started with that. That's a percussive element. It's a rhythmic element.
Our attack is percussive in nature, so it's from there you just move into everything else.
Sure.
So we do all kinds of things to the guitar and with the guitar.
Now, Rene, you have some solo pieces that you're going to drift into here. And this is all, I should say, Cuban music that we're going to be hearing.
Yes, we decided to do like a theme, a Cuban theme,
sure.
tied up into the performance.
Plenty of variety there. And so these are, a set of four pieces by four different composers.
Yes, I wanted to show a little bit of a Cuban folk tradition. So we're going to start with a 19th century piece called Zapateado, which is zapatos, shoes. So it's kind of like... this couple dance that is still very traditional in Cuba, in the fields in the country. Then Ojos Brujos,
Magic Eyes.
Eh?
Is that Magic Eyes?
Bewitching Eyes.
Bewitching
Eyes.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Enchanting. Sure.
Yeah, chanting. And then El Arroyo Que Murmura. By Anchorman, which is a Guajira Criolla from 1915, I believe. And then Afro-Cuban Lullaby, Drume Negrita, arranged by Leo Brower and written by Eliseo Grenet. Thank you.
four pieces by various composers with various styles too, all played by my guest today, René Izquierdo. And we have now three more pieces from René, representing three different composers. And but a quick question for you, Elena, check on before you check out. Belarus, mm-hmm. Is there a guitar tradition of Belarus music?
Well, there is the Russian guitar tradition,
sure.
that goes probably like to beginning 1800s. And the Russian guitar is actually seven-string guitar.
Oh, yes, I've tried to play one.
Yes,
yeah,
really?
It's a little different, yes.
It has a different tuning and different... It is a different instrument, actually. It takes a totally new learning curve to master it. I actually don't play it very well.
Well, so, it's all about the practice.
But the six-string guitar became very popular, of course, all over the world with Andrés Segovia, because guitar was a Spanish instrument, like the guitar, a classical guitar that we're playing. But it really invaded all the countries, and it became very popular everywhere. And it's an instrument that is played quite a lot.
And Segovia just happened to come along at the dawn of the recording industry.
Exactly,
which helped too,
yeah. Exactly.
It was good timing for everything.
He was in Moscow three times.
Was he?
Starting from, I think, early 20s. Maybe 1923, but don't quote me on that. But somewhere around that time, that was the first time he came. And, yeah.
So you find guitars in a lot of, like, Russian folk ensembles, I know.
Well, but no, there is all kinds of music that is played.
Classical, too.
Traditional and classical, and we play Bach on the guitar, and we play American music. We play everything on the guitar.
That's true.
It's really omnivore instrument.
But the guitar, in Russia in particular, has always been part of the folk music department.
But that's a different
little,
thing.
Little by little changing, but...
Well, of course, it took it a while to become the classical instrument, didn't it? You had, in Beethoven's time, Fernando Sor and Mauro Giuliani, who started, and even, I think, Hummel wrote some guitar music.
Yeah.
So,
And Fernando Sor actually lived in Russia for some time, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So that would help to disseminate interest in the guitar. Well, these three composers that we have here, we've heard from one of them already. That's Eduardo Martín, who provided that very evocative Songs and Flowers that we heard at the end of the first set there. And then a very famous piece, La Comparsa, by Ernesto Lecuona, great
That's
Cuban
right.
composer of piano music, good friend of Desi Arnaz.
Yes.
And other distinctions to his credit. Mm-hmm. And then what's the third one?
The third one is it was a civil. He actually passed away in 2008. Nico Rojas, Antonio Rojas. He was a civil engineer that played music by ear. He belonged to the part of a tradition of the Cuban feeling. That was a genre that happened after the big band era in Cuba. With the dry law. A lot of Americans started going to
Prohibition,
the casino.
Oh, they
the
sure did, yes. Cuba was the place to go.
There was a place to go. So when all that influx of American tourism came, they brought also jazz bands to play on the casinos in Cuba and the hotels. And so that's how jazz got introduced in Cuba. There was a famous quote by Gillespie saying, "Oh, we gave you jazz and we took the conga back with us."
Yeah, there you go.
And Latin jazz was born.
Sure.
But and this the feeling came right after that. And as often occurs in history, it tends to be very contrasting. So we went from the big band, big sound, to the minimalistic approach, a guitar and a voice. And that was characteristic of the Cuban feeling. And this composer, Antonio Rojas, belonged to that period. And the first piece, Mirándote, by Eduardo Martín, is a piece that he wrote to his son when he saw him for the first time, when he was born. It's like... showing the potential of life and everything that he could see on his son's eyes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Three pieces by three Cuban composers, Rojas and Lecuona, and before that, Martin, all played by my guest today, Rene Izquierdo, who is in between tours, I guess, off to China in a couple of weeks,
Okay, you wish you were seeing the website, yes. Yeah. I'm off to China on the 27th, 2 weeks tour, then Thailand, Vietnam, and then Belgium. So and next concert I'm doing actually is on the 23rd for the fundraising event for the Milwaukee Classical Guitar Society. That's happening Sunday, the 23rd. You can look at the Milwaukee Classical Guitar Society.org and you can find details about a golf outing, dinner, and concert. It's a whole package thing. If you don't like golf, you still can eat and watch a concert. We're trying to keep promoting the guitar activity and helping the guitar society here at Madison as well to trying to collaborate together to keep the guitar. Wisconsin used to be a very strong hold for guitar in the United States. The famous guitar competition, Guitar Foundation of America, was actually started in Milwaukee in the Wisconsin Conservatory. It was the library of the festival for a long time.
How about that? Well, we'll look forward to your next visit, Rene, and thanks also to Helena Chekhan for coming over from UW-Milwaukee and sharing her music. Now, one more from Cuba?
Yes, sure. A Day in November by composer Leo Brouwer. It was written for a film.